Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivrajakacharya Stotara Shatashri Srimad is Divine Grace Abhay Charanarvinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jayom Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivrajakacharya Stotara Shatashri Srimad His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Thakur Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanandi All glories to assembled devotees All glories to assembled devotees All glories to assembled devotees All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Hare Krishna, continuing our reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 11, Chapter 11, The Symptoms of Living Entities, Text Number 21. Evam jigyasaya apoya nanatvam brahmam atmani Uparameta Virajam Mano Maye Arpya Sarvage Evam Jigyasaya Poya Nanatvam Brahmamatmani Uparameta virajam Manomai arpya sarvage Evam jigyasaya poya Uparameta nanatvam brahmatmani Uparameta virajam Mano mai arpya sarvage Evam jigyasaya poya Nanatva brahmamatmani Uparameta virajam Mano mai arpya sarvage Matajis, word to word meaning, evam, thus, as I have now concluded, jigyasaya, by analytical study, apoya, giving up, nanatva, of material variety, Brahmam, द मिस्टेक ऑफ रोटेटिंग आत्मनि इन द सेल्फ उपारमेत वन शुड सीज फ्रॉम मटीरियल लाइफ विरजम प्योर मनः द माइंड मई इन मी अर्प्य फिक्सिंग सर्वगे हु एम ऑल परवेडिंग. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Coming to this conclusion of all knowledge, one should give up the false conception of material variety that one imposes upon the soul and thus sees one's material existence. The mind should be fixed on me since I am all pervading. Purport. Although in previous verses Lord Krishna has described the lifestyle and approach of the impersonal philosophers who meditate on distinction between matter and spirit, the Lord here rejects the path of jnana or speculation and comes to the final conclusion, bhakti yoga. The path of jnana is interesting only to one who does not know that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 7.19. Bahunam janmanamante jnanavan mam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha. The words vasudeva sarvamiti or Vasudev is everything are similar to the words sarvage found in this verse. One should know why the personality of Godhead is all pervading. The first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam states janmadi asya yataha. The Supreme Lord is the source of everything, and as stated in the previous verse of this chapter, He creates, maintains and annihilates everything. Thus the Lord is not all pervading in the manner of air or sunlight. Rather, the Lord is all pervading as the absolute controller who holds in His hands the destiny of every living entity. Everything is ultimately an expansion of Krishna, and therefore there is really no other object of meditation besides Krishna. Meditation upon any other object is also meditation on Krishna, but is imperfectly performed, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita by the word avidhi purvakam. The Lord also states in the Gita that all living entities are on the path back home, back to Godhead. Because of ignorance, however, some of them go backward or stop along the way, foolishly thinking that their journey is finished, when in fact they are suspended in one of the minor potencies of the Supreme Lord. If one wants to intimately understand the nature of the absolute truth, one must take to the path of love of Godhead, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 18.55. Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavan yaschashmi tattvatah tato mam tattvato gyatva vishate tad anantaram. One can understand the Supreme Personality as He is only by devotional service, and when one is in full consciousness of Supreme Lord by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. The words nanatva brahmam in this verse indicates false identification with the gross and subtle material bodies. The word Brahman indicates a mistake. It can also mean wandering or rotating. The conditioned living entity, because of his mistake of falling into illusion, is wandering through a succession of material bodies, sometimes appearing as a demigod, and sometimes as a worm in stool. The word uparameta means that one should stop such fruitless wandering and fixed one's mind on the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Lord, who is a true object of everyone's love. Such a conclusion is not sentimental, but is a result of keen analytical intelligence, jigyasaya. Thus, after elaborately explaining to Uddhava many aspects of analytical knowledge, the Lord now comes to the ultimate conclusion, Krishna consciousness, pure love of Godhead. Without such love, there is no question of eternally fixing one's mind on the Lord. Quoting from the Vivek, Srila Madhvacharya states that Nanatva Brahmam indicates the following illusions. First, considering the living entity to be supreme, considering all living entities to be ultimately one entity without separate individuality, considering that there are many gods, thinking that Krishna is not God, and considering that the material universe is the ultimate reality. All of these illusions are called Brahm or mistakes. But such ignorance can be eliminated at once by the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Dvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Sha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvise Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Taru Bhyasya Kripa Sindhu Vyayavacham Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. This is 11th canto, 11th chapter and text number 21. Very beautiful purport, quite big also. And a translation once again. Coming to this conclusion of all knowledge, one should give up the false conception of material variety that one imposes upon the soul and thus sees one's material existence. The mind should be fixed on me since I am all-pervading. So we are in the midst of these beautiful instructions Krishna is giving to Uddhava, the Uddhava Gita. The Uddhava Gita starts from chapter 7 of this 11th canto and goes on till the end of 11th canto, 29 chapter. So there are 23 chapters in all in this Uddhava Gita. Little bigger than the Bhagavad Gita, which has 18 chapters. And both Bhagavad Gita and Uddhava Gita have a lot of similarities. The similar factor, the main prime factor of Gita, both the Gitas are that Krishna spoke. Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna spoke to Arjuna, the Bhagavad Gita on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And same Krishna spoke to Uddhava before the battle of Yadu dynasty. So it's like quite similar. One is before the battle of Kurukshetra, other is before the battle which ultimately ruined or killed the entire Yadu dynasty. So I was just going through some similarities of Uddhava Gita and Bhagavad Gita. I'll share something and then we will come to the purport. Both Mahabharata and Bhagavatam are compiled by sage Vyasadeva. And Mahabharata contains Bhagavad Gita. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam contains Uddhava Gita. Right? However, even though Bhagavad Gita is in Mahabharata and Uddhava Gita is in Bhagavat, still Bhagavad Gita and Uddhava Gita, they also are referred as a scripture. They are also a book. So that's a similar point. And some Vaishnava scholars say that Uddhava Gita picks up where Bhagavad Gita leaves. While some Vaishnava scholars say that both are actually speaking essence, both are same. However, Uddhava Gita goes little more further. So, if you see, Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Krishna to Arjuna, to encourage Arjuna to fight and fulfill his mission. Krishna spoke Uddhava Gita to Uddhava to also fulfill his mission. Right? Now Krishna has so many missions. The famous verse from the Gita, Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Dushritam Dharma Samsthapanarthaya. So threefold mission Krishna makes, that to take care of his devotees, to annihilate the miscreants and to establish or re-establish dharma. So Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to encourage Arjuna to kill the miscreants, right? Because Arjuna was in dilemma. So to kill the miscreants, Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita and also to re-establish religion, Bhagavad Gita was spoken. In the case of Uddhava, Krishna spoke because Krishna had in his mind that he had met all of his devotees while he performed his earthly pastimes, but he had not visited the Badrika Ashram. So he wanted to leave a message for his devotees in Badrika Ashram. So Paritranaya Sadhunam. He wanted to deliver, what deliver? Not just a message, but they were also feeling pangs of separation and they would have been very miserable, knowing well that Krishna did not come to meet them. So Krishna, understanding that, Krishna arranged Uddhava to give this message of Paritranaya Sadhunam, and ultimately also through this message Krishna wanted to enlighten these sages in Badrika Ashram further so that they could write literatures and also in generic help the living entities in this material world. So Krishna is fulfilling both the missions through Gita, Bhagavad Gita and the Uddhava Gita. Now the word Gita is called as song, right? Krishna sang both, recited those verses or he sang the Bhagavad Gita. Now, in Puranas as well as in Bhagavatam, there are many songs. It is mentioned that in Puranas, in Shiva Puran, there is Shiva Gita. In Devi Bhagavat, there is Devi Gita. And somewhere Ganesh Gita also is there. In Bhagavatam, there are so many Gitas or Geets. There is this Rudra Geet, then there is Venu Geet, Bhramar Geet, Gopi Geet, Avadhut Geeta, Aila Geet. There are so many songs. Of all these songs, these two songs are famous because it was spoken personally by Bhagavan, Krishna. Srila Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita that when Krishna is first introduced in the Bhagavad Gita, he is introduced as Bhagavan Vacha. Everywhere there is, in any Puran you take, any Bhagavat you take, wherever others are introduced, they are introduced by their names. Arjuna Vacha, Shiva Vacha, Rudra Vacha, Devi Vacha, like that, Uchu. And even Dhritarashtra Vacha. But when Krishna comes, Shri Bhagavan Vacha. So therefore, when Krishna speaks, this knowledge, which is an immortal message for everyone, gets prominence. And here, Krishna is speaking to whom? Krishna is speaking this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita to his friend Arjuna. And Krishna is speaking this knowledge to his another friend, Uddhava. So both are to his friends. That's also a similarity. Now, Bhagavad Gita begins with lamentation or vishad. Uddhava Gita also begins with a lamentation. Because, you see, before Uddhava Gita began, Uddhava was lamenting. Because Uddhava could see what's going to happen in the future. The whole Yadu dynasty is going to be ruined. They are going to kill each other. Because he was a great scholar, he was visionary, he could see that. So he was in lamentation. He knew Krishna is going to leave this planet. So with that lamentation, he approaches Krishna. Krishna, I know what's going to happen. What's for me? Please take me also with you. And Krishna says, no. You have to wait for some more time. You have to fulfill my vision. You have to go to Badrika Ashram. So then Krishna speaks after the lamentation of Uddhava, the whole Uddhava Gita. Just like Krishna speaks after the lamentation of Arjuna, the whole Bhagavad Gita. And Krishna says, whom do I speak this knowledge to? Because this knowledge is rahasyam, etad uttamam. It is not just a secret knowledge, but it is topmost knowledge. Bhakto sime sakha chaiti. Not just a devotee, but also a sakha. So both Arjuna and Uddhava fit the bill. They are bhakta also and they are sakha. So these are quite a bit of similarity. There is some problem with the wire. There is some similarity between Bhagavad Gita and Uddhava Gita. Now, Bhagavad Gita was spoken to Arjuna because Arjuna had proposed that he wanted to take sannyas and go into the forest. So Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita so that Arjuna does not take the outer sannyas, but more concentrates on the inner sannyas of fulfilling Lord's will, dovetailing his desire with Krishna's desire. That's called antaranga sannyas. That is vairagya within, vairagya at heart. However, Uddhava Gita was spoken by Krishna to Uddhava to take sannyas. Krishna speaks to Uddhava that you need to renounce the world and you need to go and deliver this message. And Uddhava says, I do not know how to do that. How will I be detached? I need knowledge. And Krishna speaks the Uddhava Gita. So that's the similarity here. I remember in one of our yatras recently, Radha Shampur was giving a class. And he was mentioning to the brahmacharis, I think so in Pune. He was saying in Hindi that, grahastho ke liye bhi vairagya hai. Vairagya kaisa hona chahiye? Andar se vairagya hona chahiye. Vairagya should be from within. And then he asked, Brahmachari log ke liye vairagya hai. Aur vairagya kaisa hona chahiye? So he said, Brahmachari said all, bahar se hona chahiye. Said, nahi, bahar se bhi aur andar se bhi hona chahiye. So Uddhava has been told here, vairagya not just from outside, but also from within. Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Krishna to Arjuna to make him vairagi from within, while also executing his duty as a kshatriya. But Uddhava Gita is now at the last end of his own leela, his wonderful stay in the material world. And therefore Krishna is encouraging him to take the further step. So in one sense, Krishna's Uddhava Gita is like a farewell message. Krishna is giving before he is leaving this planet to Uddhava how he should execute. So Krishna speaks the Uddhava Gita to Uddhava because Uddhava is attached to Krishna's Vapu. And Krishna speaks Uddhava Gita to tell that now when my Vapu is gone, he should be attached to my Vani. Just like Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, and the same Bhagavad Gita Arjuna remembered when Krishna left. And when Arjuna was defeated by infidels, Krishna remembered all the instructions of Bhagavad Gita which Krishna had spoken. So herein, Krishna is urging Uddhava that he should remember all his instructions and in that way, through Vani, he should associate with Krishna. And just like Bhagavad Gita goes through various forms of yoga, karma yoga, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, and finally bhakti yoga is given prominence, Uddhava Gita also is similarly seen here. Jnana yoga is mentioned, ashtanga is mentioned, and bhakti yoga is actually delivered as prominent yoga. This verse which we are delivering today, where Krishna is actually elaborating how bhakti yoga is the highest. So, in both Bhagavad Gita and Uddhava Gita, one more similarity is, when Krishna speaks about other yogas, especially like jnana or ashtanga, Arjuna tells clearly to Krishna, this is very difficult for me to follow. Even in Uddhava Gita also, in the 29th chapter, Uddhava says very clearly, Krishna, you spoke all these yogas, but it's very difficult. Tell me a simple process. And Krishna speaks the principles of bhakti yoga. So we find here that how beautifully these two Gitas are interrelated. These two Gitas deal with dealing or delivering a person from ajnana to jnana, from ignorance to knowledge. This Bhagavad Gita and Uddhava Gita deals with converting or transforming a nitya baddha to nitya siddha, a conditioned living entity to liberated living entity, a poor soul to a pure soul. That is the message of both the Gitas. Now we are referring now today, in today's verse, from the 11th chapter. In the 11th chapter there are three themes. The first theme is, Krishna speaks to Uddhava the difference between a conditioned soul and a liberated soul. Then Krishna further says, what is the characteristics of a saintly person? And lastly, Krishna says in this chapter, what are the different aspects of practice of devotional service? Now, in this 21st verse, which we are covering today, Krishna is concluding the first section. The first section is difference between conditioned soul and the liberated soul. And Krishna says that a conditioned soul can complete his journey from conditioned stage to liberated stage by practice of bhakti yoga. And there he mentions here that manomai arpya. Manomai arpya means one should offer his remembrance, his mind unto my lotus feet, Krishna says. And evam jigyasaya. That means in conclusion, Krishna says, everything I have spoken so far, now I am speaking in conclusion. Mano mai arpya. One can achieve perfection of life by surrendering or offering his remembrance, his memory, or taking shelter of me. So in the purport, the disciples of Srila Prabhupada mentioned, Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prapadyate. This conclusion is reached after millions of lifetime. Bahunam janmanamanti. When? Jnanavam. Manushyanam sahasreshu. Kashyid yatati siddhaye. Of hundreds and hundreds of manushya, kashyid, very few, yatati siddhaye, achieve perfection. But yatatam api siddhanam, even of those who achieved perfection, yatatam api siddhanam kashin mam viti tatvata. Even after those people have achieved perfection, very few of them understand me in truth. And this Krishna mentions very beautifully in conclusion in both Uddhava Gita and the Bhagavad Gita. So this is the power of bhakti yoga. In this verse, it is mentioned that the power of devotional service, it can overcome all kinds of illusion. There is this word Brahmam in this verse today. Brahmam means Brahmite in the cycle of birth and death. to rotate or to revolve in the cycle of birth and death. Bhram also means illusion, Bhram also means mistakes. Srimad Madhvacharya in the purport mentions what are the different mistakes a person makes in this material world, and he enlists them. The first mistake a living entity makes in this material world is he identifies himself with his body, both gross and subtle. The second mistake Srimad Madhvacharya mentions is he identifies, the soul identifies that he is actually super soul, impersonalism. The third mistake is the living entity in this material world considers that this material world is the ultimate reality. The fourth mistake is a living entity thinks that actually there are many gods, one can surrender to any god. And finally, the last mistake is the living entity thinks that actually Krishna, he is not God. So all these Brahmams get easily eradicated when a living entity performs bhakti yoga. We have been hearing that how, when you perform devotional service, what happens? Through devotional service, jnana and vairagya develop, right? Shripad Madhvacharya, after his conclusion, it is mentioned that one can perform devotional service very easily and nicely just by taking shelter of the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, the power of holy association, the power of holy name, is that all these mistakes, these illusions which a living entity, conditioned living entity is in, which keeps him in conditioned stage, can all go away and he can become liberated. This all goes away by the simple process of holy name and holy association. Because in holy name and holy association, the power of bhakti is developed, is seen. And that bhakti generates jnana and vairagya. To go out of this material world is not an easy task. To go out of this material world, one requires detachment. And for detachment, one requires knowledge of what this material world is all about, of who he is. Therefore, jnana and vairagya are very essential practice in spirituality. One cannot say that, I am just doing some sentimental devotional service, I don't require jnana, I don't require vairagya. No. Actually, essentially by bhakti yoga, everything comes. Just like for a devotee, when a person enters a temple and becomes a devotee, what do we see? It's so difficult to become renounced, to give up anything in this material world. But after becoming a devotee, it's very easy to give up things. When one is not a devotee, does not have any knowledge, but just by becoming a devotee, coming in association of devotees, he understands so many things. That's essentially the power of bhakti. Jnana and vairagya automatically develop in that. And we see that how this identification with the body, that's the main factor which keeps one in this material world. Aham mameti, me and mine. Therefore, in the Vedic culture, it is mentioned that just as a living entity, as he progresses in his life, from brahmachari, grihastha, there is vanaprastha, there is sannyas. So in the four ashramas mentioned, there is more vairagya given in brahmachari, vanaprastha and sannyas. A grihastha has to graduate to vanaprastha and sannyas. Ultimately, slowly, slowly detach. But detachment is not easy, right? Detachment is very difficult from this material world. But a living entity, when he comes in Krishna consciousness, what happens? That vairagya is very gradually built up. Right, for example, we'll see that when we become devotees, in our life we had no desire to ever go to temples or to holy places. We had lot of desires to enjoy material world, but no desire to come to a holy place or come to a temple. What to speak of, ultimately renouncing the material world. That's beyond. But even the concept of coming to a temple regularly was not there. But as soon as we came to Krishna consciousness, we actually are longing to come to temple, right? Remember when I was outside, living at home, I would always wait Sunday. I could not miss my Sunday Bhagavatam class, Sunday feast, coming to devotees association. And I was wondering that how this transformation has taken place. That I was not interested in going to temple, not to go in any holy place. And now I am hankering to go to a holy temple, a holy place associated with devotees. I never desired. It happened. The process of Krishna consciousness develops that jnana and vairagya. Like one devotee was mentioning in his class that to give up this material world suddenly will be very difficult, right? Just imagine giving up our own body, giving up our assets, our home, suddenly at time of death. It will be so difficult. But by Krishna consciousness, what happens? We are regularly giving up them, temporarily at least. So we are at a cozy home, very nice Sundays, waiting outside, and cricket match or soccer match is going on. But then you get a message, oh, today's Bhagavatam class will be given by His grace or His holiness. Then you feel, oh, I should go to temple. You do everything which was initially attracting you, will give up everything and come to temple, right? So this is that temporary vairag which comes in, that generates that, no, this is okay, but I have to go there, I have to go there. So then due course of time, that one day in a week becomes slowly, slowly the vairag creeps in. So vairagya within, as was told to Arjuna, comes in. When time comes, Uddhava, vairagya within and vairagya without also comes in. So jnana and vairagya, that is the power of Krishna consciousness. I'll tell you a nice story to illustrate this point, that how a devotee who is Krishna conscious can make that last, at the time of death, that decision to give up everything he has and place his whole, place everything of his life on the lotus feet of Krishna. This is the story of Katvanga Maharaj. Now we have heard Katvanga Maharaj's story in Bhagavatam. A little detail is also mentioned in Ayodhya Mahatmaya, that what happened to Katvanga Maharaj. Now Katvanga Maharaj, he was such a popular person, he was a very pious ruler. He was called by the demigods to fight against the demons. So Katvanga Maharaj, he went to the heavenly planet and he was fighting for a long time. Meanwhile, down below, where he was ruling, everything had vanished because the time span in demigod loka was different than time span in the earthly planet. So it is mentioned that Katvanga Maharaj, when the white fight was over, the demigods were so pleased with Katvanga Maharaj and asked him, what do you want? We are very happy with you. You pleased us so much. And Katvanga Maharaj, he wanted to first calculate how much time he has got. Then he will ask a boon accordingly. So someone was telling me that Indra, he actually saw in the future and saw and told that actually you only have 4 moments. Aapke paas sirf 4 ghadi reh gayi hai. So Katvanga Maharaj was amazing. Just 4 moments left of my life. And Katvanga Maharaj said, I don't want anything from you, Indra. Can you in 2 moments take me to Ayodhya on the banks of Sarayu River? And he said, I can do that. And now, wing everything, immediately he was on the banks of Sarayu, exactly at a place where all the great devotees assembled and they were chanting Lord's holy name. So he went in and he also chanted loudly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And he gave up his body. When he gave up his body, a Vaikuntha Viman came and took him. So how could Katvanga Maharaj, a king, involved in activity like fighting, having children, having family, having kingdom, could make that vairagya detachment? Because he was having everyday vairagya in form of Krishna consciousness. And then time came, he gave up that whole thing, Krishna gave the determination, and he was able to detach, and he was able to perfect his life. So this is called as how Krishna consciousness gives in our life vairagya and jnana. We did not know anything, but we came association of devotees, and what happened? We heard Krishna Katha. Whatever mistakes are mentioned by Shripad Madhvacharya here, bodily identification, at least everyone in this temple hall, sitting here, or hearing, at least they know that they are not this body. Now it may be a big journey to actually realize that, but at least everyone knows, we are not the soul, we are the body, right? Or we are the soul, we are not the body, right? Anyways. And also we know that we are soul and Krishna is super soul. Right? Like someone mentioning I recently here that what is the difference between Atma or Paramatma ek hai? वन पर्सन मेंशन टू वन डिवोटी. तो डिवोटी सेड मूर्ख ऐसे कैसे हो सकता है, दोनों एक हो, दोनों का नाम आत्मा होना चाहिए, एक परमात्मा एक आत्मा है, एक में ज्यादा है ना परम. सो यू सी एटलीस्ट एज डिवोटीज यू नो दैट कृष्णा इज सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड एंड वी आर इन सिग्निफिकेंट लिविंग एंटिटी पार्ट एंड पार्सल ऑफ कृष्णा. एंड ब्रह्म मिस्टेक इज ऑल्सो दैट वी पीपल कंसिडर दिस मटीरियल वर्ल्ड इज अल्टीमेट रियालिटी. देयर आर सो मेनी सॉन्ग्स वी हैव टू लिव हियर ओनली. But in Krishna consciousness, we know very nicely that this material world is not a place for us. This is not a fit place for a gentleman. And also, a mistake is that people think everyone is same. All gods are same. There are many gods. But we know, Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. There are many gods, but there is one supreme god. The absolute truth, Krishna. So just by coming in Krishna consciousness, all this knowledge and vairagya has come. And that how one of the very essential parts of our Krishna consciousness is hearing. Why? Because when we hear, then we understand, and with that understanding we practice our Krishna consciousness. So there is jnana and vairagya develops just by hearing process. So Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita essentially both are literatures which give us that immortal message which can purify our heart and take us from the conditioned stage of life to the liberated stage of life. Bhagavatam is compared to Amrit or nectar. Bhagavatam is compared to elixir. Few days ago we heard Narsingh Leela Bhogiyo class. Bhagavatam is compared to Chandan, right? So there are many ways Bhagavatam is compared, and Bhagavatam can soothe our life. So it is mentioned in the Puranas that how Srimad Bhagavatam attracted even a person who was impersonalist. How Bhagavatam also attracts a person who is on a Paramahansa stage. This Bhagavatam, the message of God, is for everyone. The famous story of how Shukdev Goswami, in his pastime as Shukdev Goswami, became a devotee from impersonalist. So there is a story which goes on. This is from Kailash. Lord Shiva, he was in Kailash and he was sitting with Parvati Devi. So it happened that Lord Shiva mentioned to Parvati Devi that we are together as husband and wife for many lifetimes. So Parvati Devi got very intrigued and Parvati asked Lord Shiva that you mentioned that we were husband and wife for many lifetimes. How come I have forgotten and you have not forgotten? I don't remember any of them. And you said you remember. And Lord Shiva said to Parvati, because you took many lifetimes, but I was in one life only. So Parvati said, how that I took many lifetimes, but you remained in the same body? And then Lord Shiva said, because I regularly hear the immortal message of Bhagavatam. And therefore I am immortal. I don't have to take lifetimes. So Parvati said that I have taken so many lifetimes to come again and again become your wife. Why not I also become immortal? This is the last one where I don't take another lifetime to become another wife of yours. And Lord Shiva said, very nice, good. It's a good request. And Lord Shiva said, okay. So, but I can't do this in Kailash. In Kailash, there are people coming suddenly to meet me. This message of Bhagavatam, which I am going to tell you, is a very secret message. I can only tell you when there is no one around here. So now I am going to describe a journey which took Lord Shiva from Kailash to Amarnath and from Amarnath to Badrikashram. So Lord Shiva decided he had to go to some other place of his where he could find no one is there, everyone hears him. Okay. So Lord Shiva brought Parvati Devi to Amarnath. And there Lord Shiva immediately saw a few living entities going around. So Lord Shiva just saw them and he understood that we are not supposed to be here. So they all left. So there was no one literally in that place. And Lord Shiva sat under a tree to speak Bhagavatam to Parvati. Lord Shiva told Parvati, then when Bhagavatam begins, I become absorbed. In absorption, I go in trance. In trance, I close my eyes. So how will I come to know whether you are hearing a Bhagavatam or not? Because it's a long message. So Parvati said, don't worry. I will do something by which you will understand that I am hearing you. I'll speak something like hmm or hmm like that, different words, by which even though your eyes are closed, you'll be able to see, you'll be able to understand that I'm still awake, I'm hearing you. So Lord Shiva begins the Bhagavatam. So when he begins the Bhagavatam, he goes in trance, he closes his eyes, and here Parvati Devi, who's hearing Bhagavatam, after some time, Parvati Devi, I don't know why, but he falls asleep. She falls asleep. Right? Like many times happens in Bhagavatam, we fall asleep. We go in trance, in different trance, we close our eyes. So when Parvati Devi closed her eyes, the Bhagavatam was going on, but there was no answer. Meanwhile, on that tree, there was a nest on which a very small parrot had just taken birth. Now, all the living entities had left that place, but this parrot could not leave because he was totally confided. He had no way he could fly because he had no potential to fly. Now, this parrot was how Shukdev Shuka, the parrot in the spiritual world, appeared in this material world as Shukdev Goswami. So when he appeared in this material world, he appeared with Brahma Gyan. He was an impersonalist. He was a unique parrot with impersonal knowledge. So he was there and he was hearing Bhagavatam and he was drinking Bhagavatam. And he also saw that this Parvati Devi is now taking some rest and Bhagavatam may stop. So the parrot, which sometimes parrots are known there to remove some human voice, you know. So the parrot exactly duplicated the voice of Parvati and kept on saying, hmm, hmm, like that. So Lord Shiva was in trance, closed his eyes, but he could understand that someone was hearing, Parvati is hearing. So he spoke the entire Bhagavatam. When the entire Bhagavatam was over, meanwhile, because the entire Bhagavatam was over, this parrot Shuka, who was impersonalist, became a pure devotee just by hearing Bhagavatam. He had no other desire but to take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. So Lord Shiva, when he finished his Bhagavatam, he opened his eyes. And when he opened his eyes, he saw Parvati sleeping. He became very angry on Parvati. Hey, what is this? You are sleeping. So Parvati said, I am very sorry. I slept a little more longer. And said, that's okay. But why? But you are all saying, whom, whom, like that, you know. I never said that. So Lord Shiva said, who was that? So then he saw across and he could not see. Then he meditated and immediately understood that on this tree there is one small parrot who was actually hearing the Bhagavatam. So Lord Shiva became angry. How can someone hear my Bhagavatam without my permission? So Lord Shiva took a strident. Now meanwhile, such a huge period had gone, this parrot had now got strength in its wings. So the parrot understood that now my call has come, you know, Lord Shiva is after me. So the parrot flew. And Lord Shiva also ran after the parrot with his strident to kill him. Now this parrot went from Amarnath to Badrikashram, to a place where sage Vyasadeva and his wife were there. So it is mentioned that Vyasadeva's wife, she had opened her mouth like this, maybe she was yawning. She had opened her mouth and seeing the opportunity to take shelter somewhere, Krishna dictating him, this parrot entered into the mouth of Vyasadeva's wife and took shelter of the womb of Vyasadeva's wife. And there he developed the body of Shukdev Goswami. So Lord Shiva came running. Vyasadeva was very happy seeing Lord Shiva coming, but in a different mood, you know, angry with a trident. He said, what happened? Just now I saw a parrot entering into the mouth of your wife. I am going to kill that parrot. So Vyasadeva's Trigalagya, he knew. So Vyasadeva immediately smiled and said, Lord Shiva, what kind of Bhagavat Kathakar you are? You know, once you glorify Bhagavatam and again you contradict Bhagavatam. You only told Parvati that if you hear Bhagavatam, what will happen? You will become immortal. So you spoke Bhagavatam, this parrot has heard Bhagavatam. So it has become immortal. How can you kill him then? Lord Shiva said, yes, that's also right. And Lord Shiva went away. Meanwhile, Shukdev Goswami was in the womb of Vyasadeva's wife. And Shukdev Goswami was now very much afraid of coming out. Because he knew, if I come out, I will be attached to this material world. I don't want, I am happy here. Whatever Bhagavatam I have received here, knowledge I am going to remunerate and think about it. But Vyasadeva was not happy. 60 years passed, Shukdev Goswami was still in the womb. So Vyasadeva went to Lord Krishna. And Lord Krishna said, don't worry, I will come. So Lord Krishna came and told Sukadeva Goswami and the women, don't worry, I promise you, it's my claim that when you come out, you will not be affected by my material energy. Please come out, don't worry. And at that assurance, Sukadeva Goswami took birth in this material world. But when he took this birth in the material world, he was a completely detached person. So just walked out. He did not stay there. And Vyasadeva was running after him to call his son back. Son, where are you going? And there's a beautiful story in Bhagavatam that Sukadeva Goswami is running and Vyasadeva is following. And then finally Vyasadeva could not find Sukadeva Goswami. So he comes back and is thinking, how my son will again come back to home? So Vyasadeva knew one thing, that this my son is attached to Bhagavatam. So Vyasadeva trained some of his disciples. Said he teaches them some verses, few verses. Especially the two verses he teaches them. These two verses you study by heart and go and find out wherever Sukadeva Goswami is sitting. Go and recite this verse in front of him. He will be attracted by this verse. So they go and recite these two verses. Barha Pidam and Aho Bakiyam. So Barha Pidam verse mentions the beauty of Krishna and Aho Bakiyam mentions the mercy of Krishna. So when Sukadeva Goswami hears these two verses, he's attracted and says, hey, I want to know more about them. He said, we only know this much because our guru taught only these two verses to us. But you can come to our guru and hear this remaining verses also. Sukadeva Goswami becomes interested. So, okay, no problem, I'll come. So they bring him where? Back to Vyasadeva's house. Sukadeva understands, hey, I've come back to the same place from where I was born, where I left. But he knows that, you know, this is the place where I'm hearing Bhagavatam. So as soon as Sukadeva Goswami comes, Vyasadeva starts reciting the Bhagavatam. And that's how, in this material world, it is mentioned that Parikshit Maharaj, what Bhagavatam he heard, Sukadeva Goswami mentions to Parikshit Maharaj, I am going to teach you that Bhagavatam which I heard from my father Vyasadeva. So then Vyasadeva taught Bhagavatam again to Sukadeva Goswami. And this Sukadeva Goswami spoke this Maharaj Parikshit, which later Vyasadeva again compiled, and this Bhagavatam is available to all of us. So we can see here that how Srimad Bhagavatam or the message of Krishna attracts not just a conditioned living entity, attracts Paramahansa, attracts an impersonalist also. Therefore it is mentioned that the process of Bhakti Yoga, it enlightens a person into Jnana and into Vairagya. So we'll end here. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.